Good afternoon. My name is Luis Pascual and I will give a talk about searches for additional Higgs bosons in ATLAS. But first, I would like to thank explicitly the organizers who, despite being myself unable to join you in Pittsburgh, they have allowed me to record myself in order to give the talk. You can find my email luis.pascual@cern.ch at the bottom of each slide for further discussions on the talk. And without further ado, let's begin. Slide number two. So, talking about beyond the standard model, there are many popular models within the community that include additional fields on top of the standard model Higgs that motivate searches for new phenomena, such as, for instance, extensions of the Higgs sector, like the renowned two Higgs doublet model, 2HDM, or triplets, 3HDM, or even composite Higgs models. But also, for instance, the inclusion of new physics fields that are weakly coupled to the standard model, like we have in SUSY models, or those in which approximate symmetries are partially broken, giving rise to light and weakly interacting particles. Most of these searches are designed in order to exploit the data up to the maximum, in this case utilizing triggers that record leptons or photons in the final state, and thus benefiting from the large trigger bandwidth allocated for those objects, shown in purple and light blue for electrons and muons respectively, and in yellow for photons on the plot on the right. So an overview of ATLAS searches for additional Higgs bosons is presented, and all of them making use of their full run 2 proton-proton collision data collected at 13 TeV. Now we go to the first analysis that is shown in slide number 3. And so this search is a search for charged Higgs from top quark decays in final states, including a charm and a bottom quark. And this search is motivated by non-Millimann extensions of the standard model, like the 3HDM, given that simpler models are already strongly constrained by previous measurements. These events are characterized by a large jet multiplicity, requiring at least 4 jets, 3 of which are necessarily bitacked, to account for the final state described on the diagram on the left, in which an additional lepton is required for triggering purposes, in line with what we have mentioned before. And this analysis uses a mass-parameterized neural network to exploit all the information available in the event. In addition, these particular neural networks also include the mass of each of the simulated signal samples as a feature in order to optimize sensitivity from a global point of view. And as it is shown on the two plots on the bottom left, the plot on the left shows the neural network score for the background and signal and several signal point masses, where we can see that they differ slightly. And the plot in the middle illustrates that this methodology outperforms an individually and or simultaneously trained neural network, where the mass is not a feature. Since no significant deviation is observed, upper limits on the branching ratio and set, covering masses from 60 to 160 GeV. The sensitivity attained with this strategy is 5 times better compared to the previous search, and the largest excess is observed around 130 GeV, with a bit compatible with the expected mass resolution. In slide number 4, I'm showing an analysis that search is for a charged Higgs that is produced in association with a top quark. But in this case, the topology is slightly different, since the signature that is looked for is a subsequent decay of the Higgs into a pseudoscalar A, that in turn it decays to dimuons, since it provides a very clean signature and it's easy to trigger on. The events in this analysis are required to have 3 jets, one of them B-tagged, with 1 electron and 2 muons. The strategy relies on a scan of the invariant muon mass to search for event excesses, as it's shown on the plot on the left, where on top of the data and the expected background, we see the signal mass multiplied by a given factor. Since no significant deviation has been observed, upper limits are computed as a function of the pseudoscalar mass for different masses of the charged Higgs. And then, on top of that, this search provides the first limit, a lower limit on the tangent beta for a 2-Higgs doublet model type 1 model. And this result is shown on the plot on the right, where a scan as a function of the pseudoscalar mass and then the mass of the charged Higgs are shown. In slide number 5, I'm presenting a search for a heavy additional neutral Higgs-like boson that is produced in association with a pair of top quarks. So we're looking here for events that have 4 tops in the final state. The main motivation for this final state, instead of simply looking for a decay of 2 tops, is to reduce the negative interference effects that arise from the standard model gluon fusion to TT bar. Only multi-lepton events are selected, with either 2 same-signed leptons or 3 leptons and at least 6 jets in the final state. The analysis relies on sequentially applied VDTs, first to separate the standard model from the standard model from T bar, T bar from other backgrounds, given that the standard model T bar and the desired BSM signature are very similar. And then a second VDT is applied to separate the BSM signal from the standard model of four tops. An example of the VDT score is shown on the right, optimized for a given mass point. The results are interpreted in the context of a type 2 to Higgs doublet model, where upper limits are set on the production cross-section of such additional Higgs, and translated also into limits on tangent beta. And these are shown on the right, where one can see that the excluded region, the values for tangent beta below around 1.5 and 1 are excluded for masses between 0.4 and 1 TeV. Moving on to slide number 6, this search looks for scalar resonances in flavor-changing neural currents with top quark decays. This kind of behavior is predicted in flavor models that include light massive fields that arise from broken symmetries. In this case, leptons are required in this analysis, again for triggering reasons, and categories are defined based on the number of reconstructed jets and BTAC jets to improve the sensitivity. The analysis strategy relies on a neural network that is used to separate signal-like events from standard model-like ones. And then, since no significant deviations have been observed, upper limits are set on the branching ratio of the top decaying to a light quark and the scalar resonance, excluding values larger than 0.08%. In the next slide, slide number 7, I'm showing a search for a doubly charged Higgs in multi-lepton final states in the range between 300 and 1,300 GeV. This search gathers particular interest since the scenario shown on the left is sensitive to lepton flavor violating scenarios. The data used in this search comes from dilepton triggers and the fit is performed for each of the categories shown in the plot on the bottom on the left. We can see that the signal regions used are a dielectron, dimuon, electron muon with both charges, and also 3 and 4 leptons, independently of their flavor. And so the amount of statistics, however, is relatively small in the signal region, barely 100 events, but it already allows us to exclude doubly charged Higgses for masses below 1080 GeV, as it is shown on the plot on the right. And then finally, to wrap up this analysis in slide number 8, I'm showing a summary of all direct and indirect searches performed in ATLAS within the Higgs sector of the minimal supersymmetric extension of the standard model, HMSSM. Specifically, it shows the upper limit of searches for additional charged or neutral Higgs-like fields in the range between 200 and 800 GeV, where of course no deviation with respect to the standard model is observed. But despite that, this plot shows already that a large portion of the phase space is covered, and there are a few things, despite the increase of the statistics, that we can still do. Finally, in the last two slides, I'm going to show two diphoton analyses, one a bit older than the second one, but that more or less cover the full spectrum that we have accessible. In the first one, it's going to be the search for diphoton resonances above 160 GeV. So the main strategy of this analysis is to rely on the excellent resolution of the electromagnetic calorimeter and the very clean signature of two photons in the detector in order to look for resonances. So both signal and background shapes are parameterized with analytical functions obtained from data control regions and simulated samples. And the final fit to the data with the background function is shown on the top right. No significant excesses are observed, except one small event excess with 3 sigma at 684 GeV, with a 1.3 significance, a global significance. And the limits of this search are provided in a 2D plot as a function of the mass and relative widths on the left, where we can see already the excess of the that I was mentioning before, and also an interpretation in the using the looking for graviton masses, graviton resonances, is also performed within the Randall-Sundrum model, and we can see that several ranges for various masses, several mass ranges for various couplings are excluded. The plot on the bottom right shows one of those cases, where gravitons with a coupling of 0.1 are excluded for masses below 4.5 TeV. And the final analysis that I'm going to show in slide number 10 is another diphoton resonance search that covers a previously unexplored at the LHC with proton-proton collisions with exclusively two photons in the final state between 10 and 70 GeV. This analysis is very challenging because the turn-on of the trigger sculpts the background shape and it makes it a bit difficult to model. But selecting photon pairs with a large Lorentz boost smooths the background shape, improving the sensitivity of the final result. And the final shape is shown on the bottom left, with the background function describing its shape, of course. On top of this, we have used Gaussian process regression in order to estimate the background model systematics, reducing them from almost 70% of the statistical uncertainty down to less than 40%. Despite all of the excitement of this new region, no significant deviation with respect to a standard model is observed, with a small 3 sigma excess of 19.4 GeV. The limits of this search are also recasted on the ELP parameter space to provide a broader view of its impact on the ELP landscape. This search covers an outstanding gap in diphoton response searches. And then finally, in slide number 11, to conclude, I have presented searches for additional Higgs bosons performed by the ATLAS experiment at 13 TeV using the full RUN2 dataset. No significant deviations with respect to standard model predictions have been observed, but there has been a large effort on providing new and interesting results. Now, there is an ongoing work to set the machinery for the next data-taking period, but there are still interesting results to be published with RUN2 data. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening.